At Vistar, we believe in better. Our members now have access to more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
And now, from the Daytona Beach News Journal.
And he is a lap away from the checkered flag in the Daytona 500.
The voice of NASCAR.
Austin Dillon wins the 60th running of the Great American Race.
Daytona Motor Miles with Ken Willis and Godwin Kelly.
What?
What?
Daytona Motor Mouse.
We're
Ken
live.
Willis, Godwin Kelly. Today we're going to talk, we're going to review Kansas. We're going to preview Martinsville. We're going to talk numbers. We've got, something I really don't want to talk about, but I just got to bring it up to point out the fact that I don't want to talk about it. We'll play the birthday. Who's the birthday boy? Unless it's birthday girl this week. And we got some good news. Good news on the business front. We'll discuss all that.
And more.
And more. And we'll get started right after this. We're back. Daytona Motor Mouse. What do you know? First segment is always called, What Do You Know? Here's what we know, Goblin. Eight is enough. Unless your name's Brad Keselowski, right? And I got to congratulate you. Before we move any further, we sat here last week, and we knew that after last week's race in Kansas, four drivers would be eliminated from the playoffs. And it was shaky. You know, it sort of looked cut and dry, but there was still a chance that one or two former champions might fall out of that top eight. I suggested, if anybody, it would be Joey Logano. I was wrong. You went with somebody who had even farther to fall and went with Brad Keselowski. And what do you know?
Fifth in points going into Kansas.
I mean,
fifth.
you knew something that nobody else knew.
I just had a feeling. And also, he hasn't been running that well. I mean, just...
Well, neither's Joey.
Yeah, but Joey...
Midland. He's just been middling, fair to Midland.
He's been fair to Midland, but he's been better than Keselowski. Keselowski hasn't run that well.
Yeah.
So, when you're back there fighting with Bubba,
yeah,
you know you got a problem. Something's not right.
Lead lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, he's gone. And here's the thing, and I wrote about this in the critically acclaimed NASCAR this week, the weekly page.
I've never heard of that.
53 weeks a year.
Wow.
Should be in your newspaper. If it's not, find out why. It's cheap, it's easy, and it's breezy. Yeah. Cheap, easy, and quite breezy.
It's I was looking at it the other day, mm-hmm. You know, when it came out Tuesday, and it's a little bit of eye candy.
It is.
It's a
chock
nice,
full of little items.
Yeah, but it's... Visually, it's very pleasing.
Yep. Tammy Wheatley lays that out for us out there in Austin,
Thank
Texas,
you,
or wherever the hell she lives. I don't know. Who knows where anybody lives anymore? she might be at a call center for our address, Willis. So anyway, I wrote about this for NASCAR this week, was at different points of the season, you said, all right, that's the guy. That's the man to beat this year.
Right.
Early in the year, it was Kyle Busch. That's the man to beat.
Oh, God.
Piling up trophies again. Oh, then guess what? Here comes Martin Truex. Oh, guess who's the man to beat? Martin Truex.
Oh, yeah.
Then along comes late summer, early fall. Look who's rejuvenated. Kevin Harvick.
Right. Yeah.
Now, let's rewind. Go back to early mid-spring. Denny Hamlin.
Danny.
Then you have Martin Truex was the man to beat.
Right.
And then for a brief period of time, Kevin Harvick. Then all of a sudden, Kyle Larson wins the race. And you go, you know, he's been hanging around the front pack all season long. Now that he's broken the seal, he might be the man to beat. Short-lived. Now, guess who's returning is possibly the man to beat, Denny Hamlin. Had a chance to win at Talladega, a good chance to win, and then wins at Kansas.
Who won the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
So, he's already had, like, the first championship, because the drivers consider the 500 a championship.
And it's on, yeah. We don't have this in front of us. Who's the last champion that won the Daytona 500?
Well, it's Jimmy Johnson.
You just know that.
Yeah, I just know that.
You
don't ask me what year.
Around.
Don't ask me what year.
Well, it's one of seven.
Yeah.
That we know. One of the great rounding off, or I don't know what the hell you want to refer to it as, but one of the great favors Richard Petty ever did for us was to win seven of each.
Yeah.
Seven Daytona 500s and seven championships. Sure makes life a lot easier.
It does. It sure does. I mean... Anyway, Kansas, in my mind, was, because of the points, it was very dramatic. because of the points.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
If we didn't have the points,
yep,
then we wouldn't have the drama. So, you know, let's say kudos to, I'll say, kudos, I know you don't like the kudos.
Kudo?
Yeah. I know you don't
Pierre
like the
kudo.
I know you don't like the kudo NASCAR.
Yeah, I do.
But
that's not true.
But in this case, you know, with this point system,
yeah,
it really is ratcheting.
I don't know where that came from. I have lauded their attempts to bring life to the late season. No, I think it's a good idea. I'm actually not anti stage racing either.
Really?
I'm an old fuddy duddy in a lot of ways, but no. It has added a lot. I mean, you now realize how important the season is, how important every race is, because you look, Kyle Busch is just coasting along on his playoff bonuses, right? On his bonus points.
Right.
Yeah. That's how important the early season is. Now, you just can't, it's like college football. You can't let up any week.
Any week.
Yep. You got to get every point you can get because they're all going to be important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's worked out well.
Yes. Very well.
How's that sound?
So
convincing?
Anyway,
did I convince you?
You did. So anyway, let's move on to Martinsville because we're doing rapid.
Yep, ready.
Martinsville is the first race of round three.
Yep.
All right.
I wanted to make sure I could snap on my left hand too. I don't think I've ever snapped my left hand. Okay, I can't a little bit. All right, go ahead.
I can actually do that better with my left hand.
All right. Well, hey now. All right, Martinsville.
So anyway, now everything's reset.
Yep.
Yep. And the points. You know, the points are confusing.
I hear.
When they reach that.
That's what I hear. Words going around, yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyway, you got eight guys. Yeah. I don't think it really matters.
No, here's the question, though. A lot of times if a guy just sneaks into that next round, I tend to say, he ain't going to live much longer in the playoffs. But when it's Chase Elliott, I think you make an exception because he just got a couple bad breaks and put himself behind the eight ball there. Now he's survived. He's got himself a mulligan in a way.
Right.
And now that might light a fire under him. He might ride that. It's almost like he's playing with house money almost now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's not supposed to be in that final eight
for
all intents and purposes.
Keselowski's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I put the jinx on Keselowski.
You put the whammy.
Yeah.
So Chase Elliott's chance to win the championship this year, you put. I mean, physically it's 1-8 because he's one of eight guys there.
Right.
But of the eight guys, where would you rank him in terms if you were putting an odds board out there? Where would he stand in terms of most likely to win?
I put him right behind the three Gibbs guys. I put him fourth.
All right.
The Gibbs guys have been Gibbsing.
They've been Gibbsing.
Since day one.
They've been playing give and take.
They've won half the races.
Yeah.
You know? I've got three drivers that are in the
eight. All right, I got the Gibbs guys. Then I think I would go with Harvick and then Chase. So I would put Chase. That makes him, what, fifth?
Fifth. And that puts him out of the chase or championship.
But I said I think I'd put him behind Harvick. I'm going to think a little bit more during the break. We'll be right back. And we're back with you'll get that big time auto racing. You know what you'll get?
What that?
A little pushing and shoving. Did you see that? From the Busch race Saturday at Kansas?
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer. Hey, Mr. Custer.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. Man, that was something. That was it was weird because it was Reddick that walked over to Custer. You know, they had a little brouhaha, a little Donnybrook, a little row, a little situation on the track, a little give and take. And Reddick, I think it was Reddick. Blah 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 blah. Reddick, no, Cole Custer walked over to Reddick.
Right.
He just beelines right over to him, walks over there, not semi with a purpose. Didn't look aggressive, but was walking with a purpose.
He didn't have his fists up.
Yeah. Gets there, immediately reaches out his right hand and puts it on Reddick's shoulder. Reddick didn't take it well. There's a school of thought that says, don't hesitate. If you think trouble's brewing, get the first jump. And he said, I understand Cole's frustration 100%. We're trying to lock ourselves into Homestead. And he came up to talk after the race, and he put a hand on me. So I put a hand on him back. That's just how it's going to be if we're going to have a conversation that way. I've had that talk before. You touch me, then I touch you.
You know, if you touch me, then I'll touch you.
Yeah? What do you say?
Because I had that in my portion of NASCAR this week.
Yeah.
He said that Reddick went berserk.
Oh, yeah. I just went up to talk to him, and he went berserk. Yeah, well, that's won a lot of fights over the years, the
also,
berserk angle.
You know, it did my heart good to see, you know, drivers grappling on pit road.
Sure.
But, you know, when are we going to actually see a punch thrown? These two guys, they grabbed each other.
Didn't somebody bloody Kyle Busch a couple years ago? I've already forgotten.
Well, that was Richard Childress. He's old school, see?
No, something. I think it was with Logano. Busch ended up with a little abrasion on his forehead, was bleeding. But I don't know if that was from a punch.
I'd like to see more, you know, more fisticuffs, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get a referee in there, and you go, okay.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were so gung-ho for violence.
Well, it's not violence.
It sounds like violence to me.
It's just, you know, the way that man is built. It's the inner beast.
You know what else you get in big-time auto racing? Or at least you used to. Not as much anymore. You know what you will occasionally get, though?
What?
Good news on the TV front.
We got good news.
I looked it up. I said, let me see how this is playing over here. Let me see. The race at Kansas got a 2.0 rating in Nielsen. That's a lot of people. That turns heads. If you get a live sporting event and you can get a 2.0 rating, which is 3.3 million viewers, you can sell that to a network for a lot of money.
Right.
And that's what they got. And it is the highest rated and most watched edition of the Kansas race since 2016. And, I mean, it's almost tied with that race. 13th race this year to have an increase year over year in TV numbers. And the 13 races, having 13 races with a year over year increase, that's the most in a single season in 6 years.
Wow.
Blah, blah, blah. The 20% increase in viewership for the Kansas race was the second biggest for any race this season, behind Texas in April. And that race cheated. It went from Fox Sports to Fox, which helped it because it went from cable to network proper, which helped its numbers. So, frankly, this was the biggest jump. And NASCAR's on NBC this year, NASCAR viewership, according to Nielsen, is up 4%, 2.5 million per weekend. So that's good news. They're actually making headway.
I wonder if that includes the streaming stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I think that's just TV.
Because there's been a couple times this year, Ken Willis,
yep,
of the Daytona Beach News Journal, award-winning columnist.
There's a couple on the wall.
There's been a few times using my phone and stream the race. And so I don't know how they count that.
That's what you're using your phone for these days?
Yeah, streaming.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's a different count or if that's part of this thing or what. So,
okay.
But that's the way it's going now. You know, us millennials.
If we look back through your history, you going to prove that? All right, we'll be right back. All right, Pat, Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, Daytona Motor Mouse. It's time for Green White Checkers. One little item got moved down to Green White Checkers. E-racing.
What's that?
E-gads.
Is that like an e-cigarette?
Yes, it should be. It should be as bad for you, or at least as dangerous to read the headlines. Yeah. We get press releases from NASCAR about their e-racing division. Yeah. I see stories. I get emails from PR people about this. Now I read something from one of the releases that says NASCAR, the Race Team Alliance and 704 Games announced today a live event that will crown the inaugural champion of the e-NASCAR Heat Pro League. For the first time ever, NASCAR teams and their gamers will gather in Arena 43 at NASCAR Plaza to witness the historic competition featuring two races, one PlayStation 4 and one Xbox One. Woo, doggy. It will determine the inaugural eNASCAR Heat Pro League champion. 7:30 Wednesday, that's today. You can tune in to eNASCAR.com. Twitch via 704 Games Twitch and Facebook for the live coverage of Eat NASCAR Pro League Heat something from a virtual ISM Speedway.
Well, you know,
you're virtually in Phoenix.
Okay, so seeing as how we're late to the game on this announcement, you know, you're gonna have
gladly late.
You know, you're gonna have to do next week, right?
Report on the winners.
Yes, you have to report.
You want the quote
winners.
From Tim Clark, senior vice president and chief digital officer of NASCAR?
Absolutely.
The combined effort of the entire NASCAR industry, as well as the enthusiasm around the eNASCAR Heat Pro League, that would be the ENHPO, has made for a remarkable first season, Tim said. The live finale will continue to showcase the action-packed racing fans, have come to expect from this series. That's why you read something first. You see where that's going here. The action-packed racing fans. ain't that something? Never mind. I don't even want to. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to handle this.
See, electronic gaming has become a sport and big money, and like the bigger players make millions of dollars playing the games.
On the apocalypse spectrum, where did this lay back in the early years of man when they came back from a fire on a hillside with with important words? What do they say? And in the eighth sign of the apocalypse, press releases about something called e-racing will be
That's the New Orleans division.
Yes.
Hey.
All right, you want to play the birthday game?
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Each week, I give Goblin clues until he gets the answer to who the birthday person is for the coming week. Because somebody is having a birthday. You know, there's a lot of birthdays coming up. Humpy Wheeler has a birthday today. Oh, Humpy.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday. Humpy Wheeler, and it's Hump Day, and he's having a birthday on Hump Day. Ain't that something? Well, happy birthday, Howard Augustine Wheeler. No, yes, Augustine. I got that right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim France has a birthday in the coming week, too.
Yep.
Jimmy France, a few other people.
You know how old he's going to be?
3/4 of a century.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
That's the speed limit in parts of Montana.
3/4 of a century.
It is. All right. Well, this person was a race car driver.
Oh, we're talking about the birthday person.
This is the birthday guy.
Okay, so boy. This is clue one,
he had 9 career NASCAR victories across all national touring series of NASCAR.
Okay.
Cup Busch Trucks, 9 career wins.
All right.
Later this week, he'll be 58 years old. He finished in the Cup Series twice. He finished inside the top 10 in championship points, season-long points, in 1999 and 2000. His best ever finish, though, was ninth. He had a 9th and a 10th place finish in points in his career. Those were his 2 best.
Well, can I guess?
He has a brother who raced. Oh, I gave you 1 clue too many.
No, I said that before you said.
Okay,
that.
Who are you going to guess?
Kenny Wallace?
Nope. Good, though.
A brother?
That's a good guess, though.
All right, can I guess again?
He has a brother. Kenny Wallace has a brother.
Yeah.
Two brothers. This fellow had a brother who raced. They combined across all 3 NASCAR National Touring Series, they had a combined 57 career victories.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Donnie Allison.
Nope.
Damn.
I said 58. See, that's why you got to remember the other clues.
That's right.
Here's the moneymaker. Here's where you get it. He's from South Boston, Virginia.
Ward Burton
and the Guapme Meat Chevrolet.
Ward Burton.
And Ward Burton and the Guapme Meat Chevrolet. Next time I'm going to bring my rifle. I was watching that clip the other day from Bristol when he was pissed at Junior. Next time, if I have my rifle, something along those lines. If I have my rifle. No, he threw his helmet at Junior. Yeah. He said, it was lucky I didn't have my rifle. Yep. Anyway. Happy birthday, Ward Burton, on Friday, 58.
Wow.
He's going to celebrate in a deer stand somewhere, is my guess.
You know, it seems like these guys just keep getting older every year.
Right? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see him opening gifts on his birthday?
Yeah.
Another bear trap. Thank you. Thank you, Teddy. Thank you, Jim. Another bear trap. Another crossbow. Thank you. Thank you, honey. He's the easiest dad in the world to buy for. You just buy him stuff that he can, you know, kill things with, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Humanely.
All right, so I'm going to round it up. Dad jokes.
Yeah.
The author is Jack Duncan. This is page 81, joke 145.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
How do mountains stay warm in winter?
How do mountains stay warm Nothing's jumping out at me.
How do mountains stay warm in winter?
Hot. I can't do it.
Snow capped.
Well, pretty good. All right. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly. Till next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.